The reading for tonight is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
The idea of laundry, and I'll explain the little shirts that you received tonight, too, and why there's clothes hangers out back as we go along. Matter of fact, it's something that had just kind of dawned on me. I really had not considered that in going forward with this illustration even. It hadn't come to me until it came to me tonight, in fact, as I thought of the cross and I remembered, you know, a lot of the laundry poles were the old tea poles that were out there, but ours actually had a part that was extended past the top and it had been welded on the side, and realistically it was a cross that our laundry was being hung from, in a sense, because that's the shape of it. And really, the T-pole is even a cross. It's the Tau cross versus the Latin cross. And so the idea of Christ taking away our sins and washing us and making us clean, and that being connected to the cross, it just kind of fits together even with the idea of what we have before us in looking at laundry tonight. Laundry. This is something that... This is a lot like our sins. Our laundry is like our sin, because we have the whites that we separate over here, and in the whites we have those little sins, those things that we're willing to dismiss, those little white lies, those broken promises perhaps, the thoughts that we've had about people that were impure, wrong, harmful even, and maybe the times that we've deceived someone, but for really, really good reasons. So those are those little white lies and the sins that are over here in the light pile. And then we have the colors, and in the colors are the inappropriate jokes, perhaps. The things that we've said that maybe have mocked some group of people, or perhaps the things that take place when we're listening to music or watching TV or a movie, and there are inappropriate things that are on TV all the time, and we continue to watch, or in movies, and we continue to go. And though these things are wrong or sinful, we still partake in them. And actually, in some cases, even fund them. And then there's the next level of sin. And that's the darks. And as we separate out those, that's the bad stuff. And we know that there are things that are wrong, but we're still trapped in them at times. We're still confounded by our inability to cleanse ourselves from the struggles that we face. And maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's something that we've just bonded ourselves to and we don't know how to get away from it. But there are sins that we struggle with every day. And every one of us faces the struggle of sin. Different sins indeed. And the idea between which pile that sin might go into, as I've said many times, kind of depends on the person looking at the piles. Because when I look at my piles, some of those things that are things that I would say those belong in the dark pile are because I'm not struggling with them, but you are. Your sins are worse than my sins by far, I'll tell you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My sin's not that big a deal. We call those the soapbox sins. What are the things that we decry most? Those things that we don't have as much of a problem in dealing with, but others do. And so we condemn them. God looks at us and condemns us all. He says, you guys have got a problem down there. Not only do you not deal with your sins very well, but you think other sins are worse than your own. He's even talked about that, you know, there's that log in your own eye that's getting in the way of you noticing the splinter in someone else's. And his response to us would be, you know, you need to clean things up a little bit. You need to wash up your life. Clean your act up. That's another way of saying it, very simply. Because we've gotten to the point where our sins continue to interfere with our relationship with God. And that was what was being said at the beginning of that verse, is the beginning of Isaiah is talking about the restoration of many different peoples. And the struggle that they were facing is they had gotten away from listening to God and following God the way they should. Their sins were like blood on their hands because they had gotten to the point where God could not hear them. And that doesn't mean that God wasn't watching his people. That doesn't mean that God was lacking in love. God wasn't lacking in compassion. The people in their sinfulness had gotten to the point where they weren't even praying for the right things anymore. They weren't looking to the right things anymore. And so when they came to God, they weren't coming with hearts that even really desired to be pure hearts anymore. They wanted to be the people they were, and they decided that that was okay, and God should just have to be their God as they were. And God simply was saying, you know, we're not doing things on your terms. We're doing things on my terms. And your sins are bad. You need to deal with your sins. And the beautiful thing is that we get the message of the cross that comes to us thousands of years later for a thousand years later for them, and now thousands of years after for us, that they were dealt with. That God himself actually dealt with them because the people could not. From time to time, they got their acts together. Certainly they did, and God watched over them and continued to bless his people, just like us today. From time to time, we get our acts together and we do really good, but then there's the rest of the time and the struggles that we face and the lack of love that we show, the lack of compassion, the lack of faithfulness. Lent is a time for us to refocus, to get back on track, to look forward to what is coming. Celebration of Easter, we're getting that preparation for Easter, but also to walk again in a bit of solemnness, to consider what we need to do to be able to look at what will be the end of this life for us and hope that God will say to us that, well done, good and faithful servant, or something like that, as was said in the parable. You know, we want that response from God for us. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear at the end of our life? Some people give things up for Lent. They maybe some folks fast. I've done different things in my life in the past. I mean, given up desserts, given up the in-between meal snacks, given up beer, given up all kinds of different things, given up meals, given up a day of eating entirely. I've tried all kinds of different things over the years, and I've even gone to the things where instead of you giving up things, you take on something else, you do something else. You help out in some area once a week. You gift something. You go through and you get rid of stuff and give it to shelters. All of these are good things and great ideas. None of them are necessary in our celebration, but perhaps doing something along that lines might be a good thing as a spiritual discipline if you need some extra help in getting that focus on God at this time of year. Because when we do these things, if you give up something, you do something with what you've just given up. For example, if you give up sodas, or let's say cigarettes, that's a little more expensive than sodas. If some folks smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, that'd be, and I did the math on this, I actually had to look up how much a pack of cigarettes were. I did smoke years and years ago, but boy, those things are expensive nowadays. I figured out it'd be about $188 for a month if somebody gave up cigarettes if they're a pack-a-day person. And it'd be a little bit more if you go in through Lent. Well, if you like Jack Daniels, it's going to be even more than that. The different things that you could do. What if you're a chocolate person or that soda person? Take the money of whatever you've given up, if you do something like that, and now put that in missions. Dedicate that to some gift for God. Take it and do it that way. Or perhaps if you're looking to just do something else for others, maybe it's in the line of laundry we're talking about. If you want to have some less laundry, get rid of some of that stuff that you don't ever wear. You know, make some room in the closet, not to fill it up again, but get rid of some of that stuff. You know, take it to the shelter. Take it to those that are in need. Bless some others. As we're cleaning up our lives, in a sense, in Lent, maybe we can bless others through that minimal sacrifice that we might be making. And what a good thing it would be to see that we do some good for others in the world. We recognize that we do, certainly, but why not take on something extra special for Lent? As we clean up our lives, we think, you know, Jesus, even in the midst of the darkest hour of his life, as he's hanging on the cross, His focus was not on himself as much as it was on others. Half of the things that Jesus thought and spoke out from the cross as he's suffering and dying was not about himself. It was for the sake of others. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In the midst of all he was going through, his thoughts were still for the sake of others. Well, in the midst of our focus in Lent, maybe we can make that for the sake of others as well. And if you're giving up a meal a day, or a meal a week, or a day, then don't just give up that time and fill it with something else. Take that time and spend it in prayer. Give that time back to God. Redeem it for the sake of others. Pray for those that are in need. You heard our prayer list tonight. We could spend a whole lot more time praying individually as we do when we take these prayers home with us throughout the week than just the brief time that we give them in worship. Isaiah comes to us and tells us, as God has said, that because we're so wrapped up in our sins, that we've gotten to the point where he can't hear our prayers because we're not offering the right prayers. Our hands were full of blood in that day. Our hands are often full of blood today too. And not that we've taken the lives of others and been at war with others, but the idea that our sin brings about death, and the idea that our sin is what Jesus had to die for on the cross very clearly reminds us that blood of Christ is on our hands. Even Pilate, when he was there before the people, washed his hands and said, "You know, I wash my hands of the blood of this man," and that was the worst possible thing he could have done. Because it's that blood on our hands that reminds us that sacrifice was also for us. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean, God says. And then he says, take the evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing them. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Well, that sounds like what we should be doing. After we clean the laundry, you don't take it and just go ahead and beat it in the dirt just to get that last bit of dust off of it or something like that. Oh, wow, when I was in India, this was horrible. We've got people that are bathing in the Ganges, and other things. And right up here above stream, less than 100 yards away, is where they're dumping the ashes into the water of the 100 plus people that are burned there every day. And just a little bit further, they're filling their jugs with water to take them home. And just a little further downstream, they're washing the laundry and the linens and then laying them on the rocks to dry. And I was glad I was not staying at any of those hotels. But so sad as I looked at all the people along the way that thought that all of this was somehow good. And the faithfulness and the devotion, though, that some of those people showed as they approached that water, that filthy, disgusting water that was, if I took my little bag of ash and added a few drops of water, that's about what it looked like, quite honestly. That's how gray the water was. And here we have a God who loves us, who forgives us, who receives us because of what He did, not because of what He expects from us. A God who has given us everything and asked for love in return. And our devotion, in many ways, doesn't come close to the devotion I've seen for these that have these false gods. But it can. It can. Because God says, and He continues in that passage in Isaiah, "Come now, let us settle the matter." I love that. "Let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And then even further on, He adds in one more bit. It says, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat all the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." He lays it down very simply for us. If you are going to live for Me and be My people, this is it. It's not old covenant dealings, but it's getting close to that in that sound. This is going beyond that, though, because we don't have the ability to wash ourselves. And He knew that, but He was telling us that that's what we needed to do. There was a future focus in that. The idea that though our sins were like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There was a future focus in that. God was already looking to what was going to be some 700-800 years later after this, and that was Jesus. They shall be white as snow. Well, now for you they are. The contrast today of having a black stole on a white robe. We are still sinful people. But God has dressed us in His robes of righteousness and said, "Put on My clothes, put on My robe. Wear what I have earned for you and given to you. Be My people. Live with Me, live for Me, live under Me, love Me, and let Me show you just how good it can be." Tonight, as you leave, I invite you to take that shirt that you got tonight, and if you didn't get one, get you one out there. But you can write on it whatever speaks to your heart that keeps in mind for you what you want to think about here. And what I'm saying is, you're going to lay something at the cross. You're going to hang it up, and you don't have to sign it, put it in anything. If it's a struggle you're facing, if it's a sin that you're dealing with, if it's a problem that's weighing you down, give it to God. If you want to put that on it, that's fine. If you want to just put your name on the sheet and put it up there, that's fine. If you want to put somebody else's name that you're concerned for, that's fine. Because we're not judging anybody's dirty laundry. We all have it. But we know that when we air our dirty laundry at the cross, Christ makes it white as snow. He hears us, He forgives us, and He comes to us as His people. So give it to God, whatever it is that it is that you need to return to Him and let Him deal with. and put it up there, and we'll just see how far this Lenten journey takes us in getting rid of some of those things that we need to get rid of in life and leave back to God. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.